I'm good. Okay, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 36. Lisa, you know how to run that, right? Yeah, but then when at the end, she'll know how to stop it. You do? Okay. But you got to stop it and then do other stuff. You got to read the directions. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 36. This is a familiar verse in or a section of God's Word where in our foundational class, he points out how the Word of God is given to us or received about Jeremiah and Baruch, and God gives revelation to Jeremiah and then he tells Baruch to write it down and so on and so forth. So we're going to read the beginning of this and some of this chapter just to get a little understanding here of something. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying. So in verse 1, we learn a number of things here. We have an example of how a holy man of God receives revelation. It says that God, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying. So he received revelation. Okay? And it also tells us when this was written. It's in the fourth year of Jehoiakim. He is the king of Judah, and it's his fourth year in his reign. That's how they measured the time, okay? So he's been king for 4 years, and it says that he is the son of Josiah. How about that? Okay, so now Jehoiakim was king now, but Josiah, his father, was king before him. And they both received the word of God at different times. However, they had very different, actually opposite attitudes towards God's word. And that's what we're going to look at. So even though they were father and son, they had quite different attitudes about God and his word. So, verse 2, it says, take thee a roll of a book, meaning a scroll, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day that I spoke unto thee from the days of Josiah even unto this day. So again, from the days of Josiah onward, God had been speaking out against Judah and other nations because they had not done what God had asked them to do. They had rebelled against God. They had turned away from his word. Okay? It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. So what was the purpose of this? Yeah, that they could turn back to God so that bad things would not happen to them. You see, now, God says, I purpose to do. But, you know, God, it's really when you turn your back on God that, you know, God bless you, doll. It's that, you know, God can't help you. You know, you lay yourself open to bad things happening. So that's what happened there. Now we're going to go to verse 19. So in between verse 3 and verse 19, Jeremiah writes the word, or speaks the word, Baruch, his scribe, writes it down. Then they deliver it to the priests and the princes of Israel. They read it. They get all upset. Then they go and they deliver it to the king. And that's where we pick it up in verse 19. Then the princes said the princes unto Baruch, go hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be. And they went into the king unto the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the ear of the king and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth before him. It's winter time. And it actually gets somewhat cold in Israel, in the Mideast, at this time of year. They even get snow. And it came to pass that when Jehudi read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Delaiah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. So the reaction or the attitude about God's word by this king, Jehoiakim, was, I don't care. This doesn't affect my life. I don't need God. I don't need his word. I'm going to do what I want. I'm on my own. So he cut up the word of God with his penknife, whatever that means in ancient Israel, and he threw it into the fire. Even though other people were begging him not to. How about that? Pretty crazy. Then it says in verse 26, but the king commanded Jeremiel, the son of Hamalek, and Zariah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdeel, to take Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet, but the Lord hid them. The Lord hid them. So when the Lord hides somebody, you don't have a prayer of finding them. That's the way it is. Okay, well, in 1, 2, and 3, we have here the son Jehoiakim, the king, and Jeremiah the prophet delivering God's word, and then the king doesn't receive God's word. Not only does he not receive it, he decides to destroy it. And he tried to do harm unto Jeremiah and Baruch. So this is a pretty extreme thing here. Now, sometimes people will say, oh yeah, the word of God is great, but it doesn't really affect their life. It doesn't hold them. You know, in this case, not only does it not hold them, he rejects it totally. So now we go to 2 Kings. 2 Kings, and we're going to see a little bit about Jehoiakim's father, Josiah, who reigned after his father, who was an evil king, Manasseh. Well, not his father, but whoever he was. Grandson, right? And he was a great-grandson of Hezekiah. Okay, so chapter 22. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. Here we go. Chapter 22 of 2 Kings, verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, to the scribe of the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people, and let them deliver it unto the doers of the work that have oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house. What had happened is that they had let the house, the temple, fall into disrepair. And Manasseh had actually done great harm to it and actually built altars unto Baal and other false gods. So now they have undertaken the job of repairing the temple. So Josiah says, let's make sure we pay these guys, because they hadn't, you know, settled up with them yet. And he says, unto the carpenters and builders and masons, and buy their timber and hewn stone to repair the house. And it's kind of interesting here. You know, you would think, well, shouldn't these guys do it for free? Yeah, I mean, a lot of times Christians think, well, you know, we should do it for, you know, he's a believer, he should do it for me for free because I'm a believer. But that's not true. Here, these guys are actually repairing the temple in Israel, and the king is saying, make sure these guys get paid for their work. Okay, cool. Now, those guys could have said, and their free will is, no, we don't want to get paid, we want to do it to bless. That's up to them. Right? That's their prerogative. Okay, so Howbeit there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they had dealt faithfully. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again, and said, the servants have gathered the money that was found in the house, and have delivered it unto the hand of them that do the work, that have oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, by the way, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book, and Shaphan read it before the king. Now, what the story is here, they believe it was the book of Deuteronomy, and it had not been read. As a matter of fact, it had been lost for many years. They hadn't seen it. And as they were cleaning up the temple, they came across the scroll. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Imagine if there were no Bibles in the world for years and years, and all of a sudden somebody picked one up and said, wow. It's actually what happened in the Reformation. You know, people didn't read Bibles. And they weren't even allowed to read. They weren't allowed to own them. And then, except for priests, and then Martin Luther started studying Romans and said, wow, have we been screwed up? Well, that's kind of what happened here. And it came to pass when the king heard the words of the book that he rent his clothes, meaning he ripped his clothes in showing his great consternation, his great grief over the fact that they had not been doing what they were supposed to. Now, if you remember back in Jeremiah, it says they had not rent their clothes when they heard the word, meaning they didn't care. It didn't make any impression on them at all. What a striking contrast, you see? So the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asahiah the servant of the king, saying, go ye inquire of the Lord for me and for the people, for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. His father and his grandfather, Manasseh, had been evil kings. And they had just, not only had they not listened to the word of God or practiced the word of God, they had actually caused the people to sin and encouraged the people to turn away from God and reject God and his word. It's pretty wild stuff. So he says, go inquire of the Lord. So Hilkiah the priest, kind of interesting, the high priest Hilkiah doesn't inquire of the Lord. But instead, he and Ahikam and Achbor and Shaphan and Azaziah went unto Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shulam, the son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe, how she dealt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. So here's this woman, and she's a prophetess. She's the only, you know, real heavy-duty believer. There's no prophet. There's no man of God. Hilkiah is, you know, he's a priest, and he's okay. But, you know, this is it. This woman, she's the prophetess. So they go to her to inquire of God. And she said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me. And, of course, she knows. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me, have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall ye say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Wow, God really Yeah, he laid it out, but he really appreciated this guy and his attitude towards the Word of God, didn't he? You know, now the situation is pretty bad, the circumstance is pretty bad, but God puts off all the evil on Israel because of this one king's desire and heart to do God's word. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered unto the grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. Now, do you think this gave the king great satisfaction? Actually, no. He still wanted to help Israel and change things. So he goes on this crusade to wipe out all the unbelievers and all the altars and all remnants of idol worship. And I mean, he was just an amazing guy. So not only did he receive the word and accept it and believe it, but he put it into action. He acted upon it. So here we have two men, one a father, the other the son. One believes God, the father, with all his heart. I think I skipped the verse here somewhere. Oh, we're going to go to chapter 23. Verse 3. So it says, and the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart, with all their soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in the book, and all the people stood to the covenant. So what he did is he gathered all the people into the city of Jerusalem, the capital of the country, and then he made a covenant with God that they would, not only him, but everybody else, would do the word of God. And of course, he's the king, so he could make everybody else do what they were supposed to do. Pretty great. Verse 25. And after Josiah dies, it says, and like unto him, verse 25, was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, and with all his soul, and with all his might, according to the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him. So that's a tremendous testimony of this man. Nobody ever turned back to God and the word of God like Josiah, with all his heart, with all his might, with all his soul. Pretty amazing. Then we get down to verse 37. And it talks about Jehoiakim. Well, let's, verse 36. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Zubidah, the daughter of Pedaiah of Rumah, and he did that was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done. Not his father, Josiah, but his forefathers, his grandfather and great-grandfather. And so what a stark contrast in what God says about his father, Josiah. Nobody turned back to God like him, and Josiah, he did evil in the sight of God, just like his grandfather and his great-grandfather. Just didn't have it. Pretty amazing. So there you go. So one embraced the word of God and did it and lived it, and the other rejected it and tried to destroy it. Now, can you really destroy the word of God? No. If we burned every Bible in the world, God would figure out a way to get us the word of God. You know, because it's up to him. So the difference was accepting and believing the word of God as opposed to rejecting it and trying to destroy it. And what a difference it made in their lives. Jehoiakim was taken away and put in prison by Nebuchadnezzar. And Josiah lived out his life and was buried in peace. And Israel was preserved for that many years while he was alive. Let's go back to Jeremiah again. So, what's the point of all this? Well, the point of all this is, what is our attitude about God's word? You know, what place does God's word have in our lives? That's the point. Do we make time for God's word? Do we treasure God's word? Do we, when we make decisions, does God's word hold us, or do we forget about it when we're faced with situations and circumstances? You know, in the prayers today during fellowship and in all the manifestations that talked about how God's desire is to help us, to bless us, to take care of us, to watch over us, to protect us. I mean, all four manifestations had that aspect in it, and also the encouragement to look to his word and hold fast to it, right? And what did Jeremiah say when he was delivering the word of God to the king? There's going to be evil come upon this land, and I'm bringing this word to let you know that if you don't turn back, you're in trouble. But the desire is that you turn back so I can bless you, so I can take care of you, that I can protect you, that I can prosper you. Jeremiah chapter 9 It says in verse 24, but let him, chapter 9, verse 24, but let him that glorieth, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. How about that? Great, huh? It's positive. Let's go to chapter 15. Now, you know, if you read the book of Jeremiah, it's really a great book. He's called the crying prophet. You know, and he was crying because Israel broke his heart. Judah broke his heart because they didn't listen to God, and eventually it was destroyed and they were taken away. But, you know, he got thrown in prison. He got put in a cesspool. All kinds of things happened, but God protected him and he survived. And most of the people of Judah got taken captive and moved to Babylon and dispersed all over the known empire of Babylon. And Jeremiah survived and stayed behind and prospered. And God took care of him for his whole life. So what was Jeremiah's attitude towards the Word of God? Verse 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. God's word was the joy and rejoicing of his heart. You see? How do you make the word of God the joy and rejoicing of your heart? Yeah, you got to put it in there. You have to read it. You have to read it, and then you have to retain it. You know, you could read and read and read and not retain anything, couldn't you? But you retain it. You think about it. You cultivate it in your mind. You learn to appreciate it. Let's go to Psalms. Psalm 12. And of course, there's a great many verses in the Word of God, and especially in Psalms, that talk about how vital and important Psalms is, or the Word of God is. So let's go to Psalm 12. It says in verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. So God's word is pure. It's pure. The words of man are certainly not pure, are they? You know, I can't even trust myself when I say something. You know, but I can trust God's word. How about Psalm 119? The whole subject of Psalm 119 is the word of God. The whole thing. So first we're going to go to verse 72. Okay, let's see, 72. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Okay, if you had 1,000 pieces of silver, say 1,000 ounces of silver, it'd be, you know, $13,000. If you had 1,000 ounces of gold, it would be $1 million, over $1 million. God's word is worth more than that, isn't it? And it says here, thousands, not a thousand, but thousands, meaning umpteen amounts, you know, much. Okay, let's go to verse number 162. You know, so many times you see people and they go through something traumatic. You know, somebody gets sick and they get healed, or, you know, their life gets saved, and say, you know, I really appreciate now the fact, you know, life, you know, I have all these things, but I never appreciated it until I realized I could lose my life, right? Or somebody, you know, that they love, you know, and they're saved. So how much more valuable is God's word than the things of life? 162. Verse 162, it says, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. we are to rejoice at the word as though we found a great treasure. Because it is a great treasure, isn't it? It is a priceless treasure. Let's go back to 105. And when the word of God is priceless, when it's a treasure to you, then you want to do it day by day. When you rejoice in God's word, you rejoice to do it day by day. Then it says in verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, so many times life is difficult and you don't know which way to turn or which direction to take and what decisions to make. Well, God's word, it says, is a light, a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It shows us the way to go. It gives us direction. What a great thing. And let's see. I got zillions of verses here, but we're just going to finish in Colossians. Colossians 3. And it says in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The word of Christ, you know, the word of God pertaining to Christ. And that would certainly be all the church epistles, to say the least. But really, the whole Bible pertains to Christ from Genesis 3:15 on. That's the whole subject of the word of God. But it says here, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. So the word dwells in you richly and then in all wisdom, showing you how to apply that word, how to put that word into practice in your life. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And it should be to God. See, and when the word really lives in us richly, we do sing in our hearts. You know, it's a joy. It becomes the joy and rejoicing of your heart. You're thankful to know it, and you're thankful to be able to put it into practice, and when you see it come to pass, it's just a thrill. So we saw the two extremes that people can go to. One extreme is really good. Put that word in your life and hold to it fast and do your very best to carry it out every day and influence other people to do it also. And then we have the other extreme, and that's the worst it can possibly get, where you totally reject the word and try to destroy the word. You know, and we see that today in our culture. People just think the word of God is stupid and silly and has no meaning and is not true, you know, and they push other things, secular things, scientific things, so-called, which are not true. So the word of God is to have great value in our lives, and it's great value to believe, to learn to believe, and to apply in our lives, because that example of Josiah is the example we want to follow, that we take it to heart. We put it into our lives and we endeavor to live it to the best of our ability day by day and to influence others to live it also. So, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us and taking care of us. And we thank you for your word being the joy and rejoicing of our hearts. And we thank you for that, and that we can just see what a great God you are and how that word was given to us to benefit us and to bless us. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.